It's time for the Jim's Razorback Pizza Report.
I think that offensively, there's a lot of positives out there, but we got to protect our quarterback. We can't put ourselves in negative yard plays. We can't react, put ourselves in second and long, third and long.
Oh yes, that's Brett Bielema talking about the offense following the loss at Florida. A lot of work to do for Arkansas this week on the offensive side. Job one was probably getting guys healthy. Brandon Allen dinged up, and apparently Travis Swanson is day to day. Looks like Charpentier. They have to jump in there.
Charpentier,
depending on what part of the country you're from. But
Cajun
anyway,
in you.
May have to pop in there and play at center. So Arkansas's got a great challenge this week. Brett Bielema said at his press conference yesterday that he hopes to see Clowney and wants to see the Gamecocks at full strength. That makes one of us, as I said earlier, I'm fine with him not playing. I was excited seeing
Coaches always say that.
Look, if Manziel had not played in this game against Arkansas earlier in the year, that would have disappointed me, but I'm okay with Clowney not playing this weekend.
I think you should be. Now, of course, as a coach, you have to say that. I remember a couple years ago, a former coach of the Arkansas Razorbacks, when asked about the players that should have been suspended in the Sugar Bowl, should play. He said, "Oh yeah, we want to see them all. We want to see them." And then later on, changed his tune after that loss.
Right.
He's not someone you want to see. No one wants to face a physical freak like Jadeveon Clowney. Now he'll say, "Oh yeah, we want to play him," but deep down, you're hoping he doesn't play.
Steve Spurrier, with his passive-aggressive way, trying to encourage Jadeveon to play this weekend. And there's been a lot of talk about that. We're going to get into that in just a minute with Jim Harris of SportingLifeArkansas.com. Do want to mention, too, Arkansas-Alabama in 2 weeks at 6 o'clock
on the ESPN family of networks, one of them.
1, 2, 3 are the O Show. So you'll just have to stay tuned
for
that.
That's my favorite.
6 o'clock kick for sure, though. Jim Harris, welcome.
Hey. What's going
Hi, buddy.
On?
We're at the Arkansas State Fair. We're excited about food. We're excited about fun. And
we want to see Jim out here.
I want to see Jim out here. In fact, every year we're here, it seems like it's always a Tuesday, and we're always talking to you about stuff. So it's all good.
That's great. I'd like to be out there for a fried frozen Oreo or whatever they have this year. What are they having?
Frozen
pudding this year. Fried Jello.
I don't even know how you fry Jello.
Yeah.
Like a burger that's a foot tall.
That would keep me happy. A burger that's a foot tall.
Jim, are you like Brett Bielema? Do you want to see Jadeveon Clowney play this weekend, or are you okay if he sits out?
He's not really playing that great anyways. I think he had 2 sacks up to the point that he didn't want to go last week against Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't go. I think he'd be fine, and I would hope that he would play and that he would play up to his capabilities. It sounds from everybody I've read that he's starting to get some advice to keep himself healthy for the draft. Instead of playing football. That happened at Arkansas a few years ago. I think Sean Andrews got some advice like that as well.
Yeah, that was for a bowl game. And it wasn't, I don't want to call it a meaningless bowl game. By the way, Arkansas won that game handily, so I didn't have a problem with that, which was nice.
Missouri, by the way.
Fared better against Missouri in that one than they did in the Cotton Bowl a couple of years later. But
right.
Yeah, that was a disappointing. I think we were all frustrated with that because I think everybody kind of knew what that was about, because we had never heard anything about these nasal passage issues that Andrews had had apparently throughout his career, and all of a sudden it was a major issue and he couldn't perform. Here's the one thing about this deal with Clowney, though, Jim, that bothers me, or I have to call into question, is that isn't it possible that maybe he just has really sore ribs? I mean, I think he should try to go, and as a guy who's should be a leader, he should play some sort of a leadership role, whether it's by example or verbally. It is surprising me that he didn't at least suit up or give the coach a call. Hey, coach, I know it's late on this Friday night. Sorry to call, but I want to let you know my ribs are still killing me and I'm not going to be able to go tomorrow. Not show up and we're 30 minutes to kickoff and it's like, yeah, I'm not suiting up today, bro.
He's not feeling it.
Yeah. Hey, old ball coach, visor guy. Yeah, I'm good. I'm going to go ahead and sit this one out here. It's only Kentucky. You don't need me. But maybe he's thinking, hey, we can win without him. It's all good.
Well, they barely did, as it turned out. I mean, they held on. I would assume his ribs are bothering him because he can't move very well on his foot, which has been the problem all year, and he's getting double and triple teams. He's getting hammered out there. I don't doubt that he's got some other aches, and I think it all kind of goes right back to a foot injury that's really probably hampered him, I guess, since August, if not before. He's not 100%. He's not going to be 100% this season. I guess in some ways, you know, he needs to get healthy, but even a Jadeveon Clowney with an injured foot and bruised ribs is probably better than 98% of the defensive players out there playing.
Yeah, you're probably right. Paul Finebaum, who I'm still trying to figure out why he has become some sort of essential member of the ESPN panel, called Clowney's behavior disgraceful and added that he has been the biggest joke in college football. And I would say, well, I mean, takes one to know one, bro. I'm still not sure why your Clowney behind is up there on the set at ESPN, but so be it. I think that's a little bit strong considering we don't really have any details as to how injured he is. I think we can all assume that most people are under the assumption he's not very seriously injured because of the fact that his head coach has poking at him. But to me, it's a little unfair to go at him quite so strongly if you're
not.
Yeah,
that was strong considering we just had Lane Kiffin, you know, taken off the team bus and fired five games
right
into the season. I'd say that was the biggest joke of the season so far. But, yeah, that's a little strong on a guy who's really having to carry a lot of the load. They don't have the same defensive front they had last year. You know, and everybody is able to send extra blockers his way.
Right.
It's just not the – people saw that one hit in the Michigan game, in the bowl game, and think this guy's going to come out and do that every single play.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, you know, you're lucky if you're going to get one play like that every few games from any great player.
Right.
I mean, it just was a lit-up play that ESPN, if nothing else, kind of overblew. I mean,
right,
they probably showed it 5 million times, and then – you know, Finebaum, who is, that's his shtick anyway, is to say something that stupid, as to say he's been the biggest joke of the season.
Yeah,
he's been the clown. He's not the clown, he's just the clown. And that's wrong.
Yeah, I think the only way that Finebaum could look more like a clown is if he actually went with the grease paint and a red rubber nose. I'm over that. I still don't get that, but whatever. And you're right. And I mean, Lane Kiffin is the front runner and will be for a while as the biggest joke in college football. In fact, he was the biggest joke when he got hired, and he has done nothing to disprove that. So I never understood that, I guess. As far as that goes, and with Clowney and his – I mean, the only thing that is somewhat amusing is that there was serious talk that he could be a Heisman contender at his position, considering one defensive guy who also played a little bit on – unless they were going to use him at tight end or as a fullback or some sort
of – which I bet they could.
There's no question.
There's no doubt.
But that was never part of the intention. So, I mean, it was going to take something freakish for him to have a chance, and it's like Harry King said this week. He would have had 10 sacks a game.
Yeah.
And even at that, you know, who knows? So
we're an offense-driven country. We want to see the numbers put up.
That being said, Jim, this may be one of the best Heisman classes as far as the guys that are invited to New York that we've seen in a long time. You want to talk about some unbelievable individual performances.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you got four guys in the SEC at quarterback that have the potential to maybe get there.
Yeah.
You've got Taj Boyd. You got the freshman at Florida State, Jameis Winston. I mean, what a spectacular class of Heisman contenders this year. And I know it's not the most important thing. It's probably the most overblown deal from an important standpoint in all of sports. But it is amazing, some of these incredible individual performances.
Oh, it is. I mean, it's so wide open now. You could name 10 guys and still not kind of narrow it down. I mean, I know last year we didn't know Johnny Manziel was going to get it at this point in the season, but I do wonder if it's going to hurt Winston that it went to Manziel last year, and then we had, who was a redshirt freshman, and you had the off season that he had, and everybody blamed a redshirt freshman getting the Heisman, you know, for his problems. I wonder if that might not hurt the Florida State player, who was incredible. It was fun to be able to see him the other day just destroy Maryland. It was really the only game worth watching for about 30 minutes.
Yeah. How about the dude jumping on his back, and he flips him off like Superman, runs to his right, throws a dart under pretty good coverage for a touchdown. The guy is a freak, and that's the kind of highlight reel that gets you a Heisman.
It's a moment.
Yeah, he's going to get it if he keeps doing what he's doing. I mean, if he doesn't get it this year, he'll certainly be the front runner next year, and certainly Florida State will be the front runner here, I think, this year and next year. You know, to make the, well, of course, next year it'll be the Final Four, I guess, or the college football playoff is what they'll call it. But I think their talent's all gelling now and, you know, starting to come together as a force again, like it was in the heyday of Bobby Bowden. Boy, they look good.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
I mean, they have Florida-type defense, which Arkansas got to fill up, Arkansas fans got to see up close the other day. But plus, they have an offense. They have a weapon at quarterback that's, you know, special. It's the only word I can think of right now.
Yeah.
The Houston Nut.
Thank you, Houston, yes.
Special. He's very special.
My buddy Matt, who's a Florida State fan, says, tell Jim to quit. He doesn't want you to jinx him, but... Yeah, the kid has been amazing. Every time I mention Winston or Florida State on the air, he tells me to shut up.
Comes down to field goal kicker for Florida State.
Yeah, it does. Amazing. And, I mean, again, last year we were all over them, and they ended up blowing it, of course. They lose to NC State.
You picked them last year based off their defense and defensive line.
I mean, they were so amazing and so deep there. And they showed up and they did their job. But, to lose that NC State game the way they did was amazing. And then, of course, they just didn't quite live up to it. But they were good, and we've seen it before.
And
the question is, can Clemson keep up their end of it? And we got that game this month.
The
Clemson-Florida State game is going to be one of the great ones, or at least it looks on paper like it should be. By the way, I saw this morning on CBSSports.com, and I guess it's Jerry Palm that puts it together, the projected BCS standings, because who can wait until the actual BCS standings come out?
I can't.
Right.
Alabama-Clemson at number 2 in the BCS standings if it were to start today. I don't know if I have an argument against that. Stanford 3, I may have an issue with that. Oregon 4, I don't think there's any chance that that Stanford beats Oregon. I did pick Washington to beat Stanford last weekend, and I was very disappointed, but they made it close.
I mean, it was close, and it really came down to that one final drive. And
Ohio State 5 and Florida State 6. Now, obviously, Florida State can do itself a world of good by beating Clemson, but what a great matchup of teams, a great matchup of quarterbacks with Winston and Taj Boyd on the same field.
Still a couple games away, though.
Yeah.
So hopefully neither of them will pull a Clemson or a Florida State and blow it and ruin that matchup of the undefeateds later on.
Yeah, I like the fact that you got Oregon, Stanford, Washington looking really good out west. I mean, so you got some shift of power. I mean, you don't have a top-heavy SEC anymore. I don't think Alabama, I know they're number one, and they're starting to look like it on defense, but I don't think they're there yet for what they've been the last 2 years. And then you have FSU and Clemson dominating the ACC. So I don't think Virginia Tech's a real player, although they only have one loss. So it's really shaping up right now to be a great finish in college football. I didn't mention the Big 12 because, I mean, frankly, it's Oklahoma and the Little Nine.
Not so fast, my friend. Don't forget the boys in green.
The boys in green, but I think Oklahoma may. I'll tell you, Art Briles, it is Baylor right up there. He's been amazing, too. They're playing defense now, or at least against the teams
enough.
They're playing, they're playing defense.
Yeah.
They're playing enough, and they give up 42 to West Virginia, score 73. It's amazing what these teams are doing offensively this season. These really potent teams, the programs, Oregon, Baylor, the scores that they're putting up, and their shutting people out, or they're closing them down pretty good.
Jim, I'm sorry. There's a goat bleeding in the background.
This is like Jurassic Park.
He wanted to throw in his. He said, "Don't forget Mac Brown."
Mark.
He's Paul Feinbaum. That's Feinbaum.
Paul Feinbaum has way bigger ears than this goat does. I can tell you that right now. Paul Feinbaum is one of those guys, and I hate to pick on a guy's physical appearance. It's not his fault. But if he fell out of an airplane, he would float softly to Earth like Dumbo. Anyway, okay, Jim, let's talk a little baseball because this is truly, as great as you are talking college football, baseball is your deal. And unlike me, your team is still relevant. A highlight from last night, Matty T, if you please.
The pitch, ground ball right to the shortstop. Cosmo was playing up the middle. He throws out Morneau. Seven innings. The Pirates do not have a hit. We're going to the eighth inning. The Cardinals come up, leading 2-0 in Pittsburgh.
Well, all I can say is, thank goodness Pedro Alvarez did not come to bat with a man on base. Yes. That would have probably changed the whole dynamic. But Michael Wacha, 1 year removed from pitching for Texas A&M, think about that.
Wacha.
Pitching two. Of course, he didn't pitch a complete game. I don't guess he pitched one either game, did he? He pitched, gave up one hit in 16 and two-thirds innings.
Yeah, he
that's unbelievable.
It is. Two hits. Well, this has been a great series. I actually talked to Phil Elson yesterday, and he was extremely nervous about Wacha being on the mound. And he obviously performed at a high level. So, of course, Phil knows what he's talking about, too. So now we're tied at two apiece. A.J. Burnett got shelled in game one, and we found out yesterday after the game that he is not going to go. And Clint Hurdle was asked about it following the loss last night. Here's his thoughts on it. And, Jim, I want to get your reaction to it.
It's a very hard decision. It's a difficult decision because he has meant so much. We've asked so much of him while he's been here. It has been a very challenging park for him. If this was any other venue, it wouldn't have been he would have gotten the ball. But for me, in this venue, this game, Cole is going to be our guy. AJ wants the ball every day he's scheduled to pitch. That's one of the things that's gotten him to the point in his career and having success that he's had. So by no means, you want to treat men professionally. Sometimes we don't agree on things, but we've got to find a way to get this together, to give our team the best opportunity to win, you know, on all aspects.
Hate it for A.J. Burnett, but, again, has struggled, you know, struggled in game one and has really struggled apparently at St. Louis. So, you know, you got to do what you got to do. And when you look at the numbers of the guy they are going to throw, it's kind of an easy decision, although he is some limited comparison.
I think he's gotten plenty of rest. He pitched on Friday, is that right? So, you know, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. I mean, he's gotten enough rest to go. I guess it kind of hurts the Cardinals, if nothing else, that there's another travel day in this series. In a five-game, you know, basically short series, there's two travel days in it.
Yeah.
I don't know if that plays for the top seed that well or not, which the Cardinals are. I mean, maybe if they were able to go, you know, today, you got to think Wainwright would have the edge, and they probably have to go with Burnett.
Yeah.
But instead, you know, they're able to throw Cole on, 4 days, plenty to be ready to go.
Yeah, I would think so. Well, we saw
he's great.
Didn't we have a similar situation with that yesterday with the
in the Dodgers? I'm stunned that the Dodgers would go ahead and go with Kershaw. I don't see why they wouldn't save him for game five if needed, since he's their ace. But
maybe they knew he wouldn't be needed.
Either that, or maybe they just felt better about him pitching in Dodger Stadium. Certainly it wouldn't have paid off for him without the big hit from
Uribe?
Uribe. I forget which one it is. Juan Uribe?
Juan?
There's been a bunch of Uribes in there. I mean, not being mean to the Uribe family or the name, but
he's not to be confused with anyone else.
But there is another Uribe.
It's like the Alouz. There's like 43 of them.
What I want to know, and I thought I knew baseball, but I guess I didn't pay much attention. When did the beard go to the Dodgers? When did Brian Wilson end up a Dodger?
I don't know that I knew that he did. I guess I haven't followed it close enough.
He pitched the eighth inning last night. I actually saw it the other day before last night, but I saw him in a Dodger uniform. I was like, "What did the Giants give the Dodgers such an edge for? I mean, it seems like that's like the Cardinals or the Cubs giving the Cardinals their best player or their best pitcher, you know?
Yeah, or them like having a chance to make one of their best players in history their manager and then letting him go and manage the Phillies.
Yeah, the Phillies. Yeah. Hey, things are going to work out for you, Justin. There's a playoff in your future. I believe in Theo Epstein. I know he's going to get the right players. Look at the Pirates. They're the perfect example. You know, about 19 years of futility, and then these last two seasons before this one, they showed signs they were turning it around. They just didn't have enough to get through the summer. But this year, they've got all the pieces, and if they win tomorrow, you know, more power to them. I think they've done great, and those fans have been starved for a winner for 21 years.
Mm-hmm.
The Cubs are going to have that chance, too. I really believe it.
You do?
I really believe that Theo can get it done up there.
Game ball to Pittsburgh and St. Louis for what's been an interesting series so far. Jockstrap to the fact that they're playing at 4 o'clock tomorrow, which precludes a lot of folks from being able to sit down and watch the whole game.
Every game.
It's the only game on tomorrow. I mean, what are you worried about?
Every game has been an afternoon game. Why are they doing that?
I don't know. I guess they don't want to go up against
about it.
They don't want to go up against exhibition NBA or college soccer.
And, I think the NHL season started too, so maybe. Yeah, that doesn't make a lot of sense.
It's annoying how it is.
But it gives you a great excuse to leave work early if you get the chance.
Oh, my spleen!
Oh, at 4.
I'm feeling terrible. I got to go home and lay up.
3:55?
What time is it? Oh, I'm exhausted. Yep. Go to work early tomorrow, folks. It's going to be worth it for a
game.
Well,
I'm an old fogey, and I remember that, you know, the last games of the World Series were about right now, you know, not too long ago. And they were all in the daytime. So I guess it's feeling like a throwback World Series almost to me.
Yeah. Jim, we got a question for you, then we got to go. But
okay.
Let me get
to you. You going to ask me anything about the Hogs?
Hey, Jim, about the Hogs. We just talked about Clowney, I guess.
Okay.
Give me your thoughts on the Hogs, I guess, and then I want to take this call from Boom Shakalaka. But the matchup in Fayetteville this weekend, it's an early start, which means Baz and Trey will be having breakfast together, and you can listen in on the buzz. I guess they start at 11:30, 8:30, 7:30 in the morning.
Perfect. I need to talk with them that morning for our live shot for Channel 7.
How convenient.
That is great.
I think it's a good matchup for Arkansas. I mean, I think the offense is still – I mean, the offense can move the ball. They've got to move the ball. The Hog defense, I mean, by now it ought to be obvious to everybody that if the opposing quarterback has any ability to find receivers downfield, receivers are generally running free against this sort of shell-like defense, the deep zone, really, that Arkansas seems to be playing, so they don't give up big plays. So then Florida exposed it the other day by hitting their 4-2-5 in the 40 receiver on those short passes. Arkansas couldn't tackle him, and he turns little 12-yard passes into 51 and 38 yards. Obviously, Arkansas has to clean that up for this week. Defensively, they got one cornerback position that's still going to be a replacement. So obviously, you got to have a big game out of Brandon Allen. That shoulder's got to come around. I thought he was showing more effects from the injury this week than the previous week. I thought that was one of his problems. But it reminded me of Clint back when he injured his shoulder, Clint Sterner, in 99. His worst game of the two when he came back was the Kentucky game. And Arkansas really struggled that day, and he had to come out. He just couldn't go.
Yeah.
If Arkansas had a real backup the other day, you might have seen him out there more than just out there when you know, Allen hurt his finger. So, you know, it's a must game. That's all you can say. They've got to win all their home games that are left to make the bowl, to win six games, and that's they got to start this week. They can't win all the remainder of their home games without starting with this one this week.
That's a valid point. Jim, let me get this one quick question here from Boom, and then we will let you go. Hey, Boom.
Hey, Jay. All right. What's up? Jim, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, how you doing, Boom?
Hey. He's all right, man. You playing the Three Putt Cove tournament 26 October?
I know about it. Boy, I'd sure like to see Justin play up there in it too, for that matter. It's a good weekend.
Go play in it.
I'm trying to work it out. There's a wedding that day.
Boom, is this really
not mine?
Is this for public consumption, or do you want to call Jim after the show's over?
No, I'm talking about it. I'm calling about the baseball. I don't understand why they're playing at 4 either, because it's not a travel day where they got to play the next day or anything like that. They play early. I don't understand. I mean, I'll be able to watch it, but
I got a text from Ethan who said that they may be in primetime, actually, and it would have been 4 if Atlanta had won yesterday, but of course the Dodgers won. So maybe it will be actually moved to a primetime slot. So we'll stay tuned on that.
Oh, okay.
It's on the fan feedback. Somebody chimed in.
I think that's what it is. I think that's the correct answer, what you just gave. I think it would have been 4, but I think it moves to primetime.
Well, thank you very much, everybody. I appreciate that. Deuce, Jay, Ethan, appreciate you. And there you go. So that's good. Now we can all – you know what, Jim? Now we're all going to get together tomorrow night and watch the game. Go!
Let's do it.
I'm not going to say
it. Let's do it. You just name the spot.
Yeah, I can't decide which central team to root against because I guess I have to root for the fellow losers in much the way that I rooted for Boston before they finally got there. So, anyway, losers love company.
I don't think you can become a Cardinal fan if you've been a Cub fan, can you?
You know what? I should be a Cardinal fan because I want Pittsburgh to suffer like we have, because you got to get there close like this and taste some level of success. Honestly, the hardest thing I've ever dealt with as a Cub fan is when they won the division a few years ago, and then Arizona swept them out of the playoffs in a three-game sweep. That was one of my lowest points ever
in life
as a sports fan. It really was. It really was.
Wow.
It was horrible.
It doesn't get any lower as a Cub fan, though, than 84 when you've got that team.
Yeah, that team.
That great team, then you go and lose three straight to San Diego, and you force the you force the major leagues to sort of change the rules. Then a team that had that lower a record can't have the last three games at home.
Yeah, thanks, Jim, for bringing that up.
Yeah,
I'll tell you this much.
Sure,
nothing better. Kevin McReynolds, who was a member of that Padres team, he doesn't know this, but I actually have a very it's been a long time coming. There has been a huge plan in the works. I mean, I follow the guy. I've gotten to know him. I go to church with him just so I can get him close. And payback is going to be a son of a gun. But Kevin McReynolds.
Watch your back.
I'm just saying, bro. I've gone to a lot of trouble to get close to you, my man. Oh, yeah, my friend. Watch
how psychopaths work.
And, Jim, do you know that I sit in the row behind him in the balcony at the Pleasant Valley Church of Christ every Sunday? I know it would be sinful to take a dude out at church. But
the Lord is watching.
The dude is ripe for the picket. I'm just saying. When he least expects it, you're going to get it. Not quite that psycho.
Well, Arkansas losing three straight will do it to you. Plus that loss by UCA, I just cannot believe that McNeese put it on them like that.
I know
that, that was a stunner. That was the surprise of the weekend to me.
Yeah, it was surprising to all of us. And if you'd watched the game, it was the weirdest game ever, and you could have seen pretty easily how it would come about. But it was a strange, man. Strange game, dude. I'm telling you, it was wild. But anyway, hopefully they can bounce back this week. If they don't, we really got serious issues. Hogs hopefully get a big win this week, and we will recap it all with you. Oh, by the way, Paul Petrino returns to the Natural State this weekend with Idaho.
Playing a
state.
That
could be interesting in an ASU win. So.
Yes, should be. There's another team you got to worry about if they can't get a win this weekend is A-State. So
yeah, this is probably a little bit of a must-win for them.
Yeah, I agree.
They won't have to worry about play calling on the other side, will they? Not.
What do you mean?
They won't have to worry about good play calling.
Come on, man. He's down. That's rude. Jim, we appreciate the time. We'll visit.
Thanks,
good luck to you.
Guys.
Good luck to your Cardinals.
Maybe see the fair later this week.
That'd be great.
See ya.
Appreciate it. All right,
okay.
Thanks.
Bye.
Chris and I basically